And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Ken Harris is chairman of Consilience Group, LLC. He served on the U.S. government for over 30 years in a variety of analytic positions, mostly with the Federal Aviation Commission, before his current career in future studies. Since leaving government service, he has run Consilience, and he served as the World Future Society's International as its secretary in the Washington, D.C. area. He has also been chapter president, treasurer, and book discussion leader, and he is an active member of the Association of Professional Futurists. Ken is the author of The Future of Sports, Top Down or Bottom Up or Both. He holds a BA cum laude in government from Harvard University and a Master's of Public and International Affairs from the University of Pittsburgh. Welcome to the show, Ken. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you, Bill.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. I think it's very interesting because you have a topic about two different sports, the top-down approach and the bottom-up, and we'll get to this in just a minute. But I want to set the stage because with the NFL threatening to strike a lockout for next season and the NBA also facing a legal dispute, two of the four major professional sports in the United States are in danger of missing their entire next season. So you contend that quietly there's developing a divide in the types of sporting events that spectators watch or participate in here in the United States. You call them top-down and bottom-up sports. So first of all, what do you mean by top-down and bottom-up sports?
Well, by the top-down, I mean sports that is participation by only a very few athletically talented people and entertainment for the rest of us. And by bottom-up, I mean the sports and fitness activities that all the rest of us of all ages and both sexes participate in.
All right. So give us some examples of both top-down and bottom-up sports, if you will, please, Ken.
Well, the top-down sports, the biggest one, of course, is professional football. The NFL is the world's most successful sports league. The two sides in the current labor dispute are arguing over how to divide up the $9 billion in revenue that the NFL brings in every year. Bottom-up can be any number of things, but one that comes to mind is marathoning. There are thousands of people that compete in marathons worldwide, not because they expect to win, but because they like the challenge of just being able to say they finished a marathon or more than one marathon.
Sure, my wife has done that and is very proud of the fact that she's completed a marathon. But, Ken, then let me ask you, because are we talking about just adults participating in the sports? Because if you look at football, professional football is clearly the pinnacle, and only the best of the best make it to the NFL.
Well,
however, at high school and Pop Warner level, and even at the college level, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of children playing the sports. So are we talking about just adults participating, or are we talking about people of all ages?
In the bottom-up sports culture, I'm talking about children and youth participation also. And, in fact, the bottom-up sports culture is really needed to feed a stream of players to the top-down sports culture. And, in fact, it's if you look at it, it's mostly geared to do that.
All right, now help clarify that for me. The bottom-up sports culture is geared to feed the top-down sports culture. Explain that a little bit more fully, please, Ken.
Well, the bottom-up sports culture has lots of not only school teams, but also traveling teams, youth sports teams in baseball, in football, soccer, that are for children who are unusually athletically talented, and these feed the high schools and colleges, which in turn feed the professionals.
All right. Now, I see the difference there. But then let me ask you this question, because some of the data that I'm getting is a little bit contradictory on this point. Are more Generation X and Generation Y children participating in these bottom-up sports in higher numbers than the baby boomers did when they were the same age? I'd suggest that that's probably not the case. The data that I'm getting is that young children are really being forced to go outside and play rather than voluntarily wanting to go out and do it themselves. Do you have data that supports the contrary?
There's a lot of data that shows that children are participating more in organized sports activities, that is, sports organized by adults, rather than doing as I did when I was a child, or maybe you did when you were a child, playing in pickup games.
All right, so there's more in organized sports, but overall, are they spending more time playing sports than we did when we were growing up? Because I'm assuming that you're probably contemporary of mine age-wise.
I think maybe those that are athletically talented may very well be. Those that play on both school teams and the traveling teams.
Okay. Now, are the aging baby boomers, are they participating more in these bottom-up sports than perhaps our parents did?
Yes, I think they are, because there are more opportunities for aging people to participate in sports than there used to be. People at older ages are healthier than they used to be. And social attitudes have changed a great deal in my lifetime anyway, that say it's okay for people over 45 to participate in sports.
All right. Well, if I'm understanding your basic premise correctly, Ken, then there are really some crossover sports that cross over both genres, both the top-down and the bottom-up. And just a couple that come to mind, one that you've already mentioned, marathons, because you can be a professional marathon runner, the
right.
New York, the Boston Marathon, but also golf, tennis, and swimming would be three that are crossovers.
Yes.
All right. Are there any more that I am missing in that list that are just so blatantly obvious that I've overlooked them?
Soccer.
Oh, yes. Football, known by another name. Okay.
Yeah,
so that would be another one.
Girl calls football, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be another one that you could add to the list. When I first started reading your information and trying to get a sense for who you were, one of the things that came to mind was sports that are just now starting to rise in popularity, things like ultimate fighting and cage boxing and fighting and that kind of stuff. Where do sports like ultimate fighting champions fit into your framework of top-down or bottom-up sports?
I think they fit into top-down. I see in the paper yesterday, the Wall Street Journal yesterday, that the ultimate fighting Championship League is thinking about seriously considering buying a television network from NBC Universal so it can have its own TV network like many of the sports leagues do.
Right. There's the MLB network, there's the NFL network, and so forth. Interesting. Well, now, why do you consider that a top-down sport? Because, I mean, here you basically have just a bunch of street brawlers that got together and sort of organized a league where they could pound the snot out of one another. Why is that a top-down sport?
Well, two reasons. One, they get paid for it. Not much, but they do. And two, a relatively small number of people can participate, because only a small number of people have the necessary ability.
Well, okay, only a small number of people would step in the ring, but I contend that anybody could go in there and get beaten up. It's just a question of whether you wanted to do that or not.
But would anybody want?
Exactly right.
Not everybody wants to.
We're right. That's right. We're talking to Ken Harris. He is the author of a study about the two different types of sports, top-down and bottom-up. He's also a futurist. So, Ken, I'm going to ask you, in your role as a futurist, if you could look into your crystal ball, if you will, for just a minute, what's going to happen if the NFL and the NBA both go on strike next year? First of all, what impact will that have on the two sports? And then, on the other side of that, what impact will it have on the two sports remaining, Major League Baseball and the NHL?
Well, on the second part of your question first, I imagine Major League Baseball and the NHL would be happy to, and, you know, they will never admit it, but they'd probably be happy to see it happen, because they'll get better television audiences since all the pro seasons these days overlap. After all, you have the Major Major League Baseball playoffs going into November. Actually, Major League Baseball season covers about half of the pro football season, and the NHL season coincides with a good part of the basketball and football season. So they might be happy as to whether the two sports would come back. I would give the NFL a much better chance of coming back simply because it's financially stronger than the NBA and therefore has the resources to be able to mount a better marketing effort.
All right. Well, then, Ken, let me ask you, what's going to be the impact on some of the ancillary sports, not Major League Baseball and the National Hockey League, but things like the women's NBA or arena football or indoor and outdoor soccer or even ultimate fighting that we talked about earlier? What's going to be the impact on some of these secondary sports? Are they going to gain in popularity at the expense of football and basketball?
Yeah, they may. Of course, the WNBA season isn't coincidental with the NBA, so they might not gain too much, but other sports could gain some.
All right. Well, then one final question, and the impact that it's going to have when the NFL and the NBA go out on strike or lockout, what will be the impact on what you call the bottom-up sports? Is it likely that a football fan who is pretty much by definition sedentary is going to go out and start participating more in bottom-up sports because there's no NFL to watch?
Well, that brings up an interesting anecdote that I noted. When I used to bicycle a lot, and mm-hmm. You may know that the weather here in the Washington area is at its best during the fall, during the football season.
Mm-hmm.
One beautiful Sunday when there were football games on, but not the Redskins, I was out riding my bicycle, and most of the other riders, walkers, and runners I saw were women, and it occurred to me that the men are all in their homes or in sports bar watching the football games that are on. So maybe if there's no football on and it's beautiful weather, you'll have more people out there on the bike trails or out throwing a football with their children.
No, there's a thought. And in your anecdote, there's also hope for single men out there. If you are single and NFL does go on strike, get a bike, go out. You meet a lot of women that way who are also out biking at the same time.
Yeah, you could.
We're talking to Ken Harris. He's the author of a report on the two sports, top-down and bottom-up sports. He's also a futurist. And so, Ken, kind of in that same vein as a futurist, I'm going to ask you again to prognosticate, if you will, please. Will the lockouts in the NFL and the NBA impact sports in the same way that the writer's strike impacted television? Here's what I mean by that. When the writers went out on strike here in Hollywood for television, that was the birth of reality shows, because reality shows were inexpensive to produce, you used real people, and you didn't need writers to do that. When NFL and NBA go out on strike, will the networks like ESPN, Fox, and Comcast look for alternative sports in order to and try to turn it into reality programming to fill the void that the NFL and the NBA leave?
I would hazard a guess that they might go deeper, even deeper into college sports than they do. There's lots of Division II and Division III college sports that aren't on television, or at least aren't on nationwide television. So maybe that would be something they would come aside to undertake.
All right, so they would send more reporters out to cover Division II, Division III, football, and basketball, rather than worry about trying to fill it with some alternative sports like Irish hurling or something of that nature.
Well, they could do that too. It would be, for American networks, I would think, though, it would be easier just to telecast the lower-level college games. I'm sure the lower-level colleges would love to have some of the TV revenue that the major schools get.
Without a doubt. We've been talking to Ken Harris, author of a study on two sports, the top-down and the bottom-up sports. Ken, if people are interested by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about your paper on these sports, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
The best place would be to my website, which is www.theconsiliancegroup.com.
You're going to have to spell that, the Consilience Group. How is Consilience spelled?
Theconsiliancegroup. That's all one word, .com.
Theconsiliancegroup.com. Ken, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Bye. Great talking to you. Bye.